The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, good to have you with us here for the Punt Podcast. Dave Kellner, Derek McGovern and Lee Phelps with you to look ahead to the Premier League this weekend with 10 matches in the Premier League. First of all, a good morning to Mr. Derek McGovern. Hello, Derek.
Good morning, chaps. All well, I hope.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lee, are you doing well?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm looking forward to the Premier League weekend after another brilliant midweek. I tell you what, I might resign from the weekend just in midweeks. You guys are never there to witness it, but it happens.
Don't promise us things that you won't deliver.
Giroud at 7-5, 8-13 on the Atletico Madrid win.
8-13? Wow, how did you get on that one?
Oh, that's a nice. That's a great price for Atletico at home in the Champions League. What about this, though? Alex Dunne did the podcast with us, suggested after Messi's miss in the first leg against City, going for the penalty to be awarded and missed.
Wow.
Do you know what price that was, guys?
Go ahead.
Was it 9-1?
It was 9-1.
A penalty, sir.
Penalty to be awarded and missed in that game last night, and lo and behold, it came up. My tip was Aguero to score any time, so his 9-1 beat by 7-5 or whatever it was.
While we're talking about good bets, Lee, have you managed to update the Naps table yet?
Naps table?
Naps table.
What's when he has a winner.
What's the Naps table?
Last October was the last.
I don't know. What is this Naps table that you speak of?
Are we doing away with that now?
No, I will do it. Yeah, I've updated it. Derek's winning, you're second, I'm last. That's all she wrote.
That sounds about right. Let's get stuck into this this week then, and we'll start off with Manchester City versus West Brom, which is live and televised 12:45 p.m. Saturday. Manchester City 1-3, the draw is 4-1, West Brom in the market at 8-1. The headline offers here with William Hill, Yaya Toure to score and Man City to win is 3-1, Saïd Berahino to score and West Brom to win is 25-1. Derek, Manchester City outplayed on Wednesday night by Barcelona, flattered by that 1-0 scoreline in the end.
Yeah.
They must feel slightly deflated now, out of the Champions League. It looks as if the Premier League is beyond their grasp as well. And Manuel Pellegrini's position, surely shrouded in uncertainty. It will be a surprise to me if he's there at the start of next season.
Well, 1-2 with Hills, not to be there at the start of next season. I think that's a fait accompli, to be honest. I mean, they were absolutely chasing shadows at the new camp. In fact, one of them nutmegged James Milner. How many times did we see that?
Amazing.
Thing? Incredible.
Amazing. He never looked more English, did he?
I mean, you look at this match now and you think, well, you just can't back City, can you? 1-3. They've lost 6 of their last 12 matches, you know, City. I mean, it's, you know, I know that Barcelona were 2 of those and Arsenal and Liverpool were the other 2. And then it was Bradford and Burnley. They've also lost 2. West Brom are only 8-1, though. I mean, it's not great, is it, for a team that's lost twice to Villa in the last week? And really, this is a shocking one to start with, because, you know, City could thought, right, we'll answer our critics and run up a cricket score, albeit an England cricket score. But West Brom, I don't know, they're a funny team to get right at the moment. I hate this match. I honestly have not got a clue. And at 12:45 kickoff, I would suggest the best bet for punters is to stay in bed till half two. I really don't know what to go for.
West Brom, Lee, are probably safe now. 33 points already. Their motivation might not be as high as it has been previously. I was looking at the goals here. I'm pretty sure this could be quite attritional. We've seen these Saturday afternoon early kickoffs be quite low scoring in the past as well. And suddenly, City, rather than looking towards Chelsea, are looking over their shoulder a little bit. Only a point ahead of Arsenal before the weekend. 2 points ahead of Manchester United and only 4 points clear of Liverpool. I saw the goals, under 2.5 goals at 11-8 here, Lee.
Yeah, I could play that, I must admit. I think it's a bit easier than Derek. I mean, the thing about West Brom is, however good you think they are at home, they're not great away from home. And we know that what the manager's MO is, if you like, when he goes away from home, and that's just to kind of shut up shop and try and get a point. You know, if you look at the Premier League results away from home recently, that kind of bears out as well. All right, they lost 2-1 at Villa, didn't they, with that stoppage time penalty. So it was going to be a 1-1 draw until Benteke took that one away. They drew 0-0 at Sunderland, 2-2 at Burnley, 0-0 at Everton, 1-1 at West Ham. Before that, they'd lost, I think they'd only drawn one of the previous eight matches in the Premier League going back to the start of the season. So that's what he'll do. I think he'll go there and he'll try and shut up shop. It's just how long it takes Man City to break them down for me. I think the draw at half time, Man City full time is probably a nice way to go. That's 17-5. Man City, when they have dropped out of the Champions League, which obviously they're getting used to doing now, aren't they? Last year they went away to Hull and won 2-0. It's not a dissimilar game, is it? I know it's at home and it's probably an easier prospect, but they went on a decent run after being knocked out of the Champions League by Barcelona last season in very similar circumstances in a way. You know, blamed for the naivety and all the rest of it. So I think City will get the job done. But I mean, in terms of the 1-3, I've got to agree with Derek. I mean, I think I said last week they're in the same category as Arsenal for me at the minute, odds on prices. You can find some value about them, then great. But I can't be backing them 1-3 at the minute. Just, I mean, that Burnley performance.
Well, that's silly. You say you come and bouncing back after losing to Barcelona, but they've got to bounce back after losing to Burnley as well. They were shocking, second best
awful,
to Burnley.
Weren't they? Awful, weren't they? I mean, do you know what, Derek? I didn't think they would necessarily get past Barcelona, but after that Roma game in the Champions League, I was kind of steadying myself to make some sort of argument how they could get something out of the game at Barca. And then I watched that Burnley game and thought, nah, it's not going to happen. It can't happen. It can't happen against a team like Barcelona. But, you know, I just don't think West Brom are adventurous enough to beat Man City. I think if they went for Man City and had a go, if Pulis was brave, then I think they might be able to get something, because they've got Berahino, who's in good form, of course. They've got Brown Adai, who's scoring goals. You know, and, you know, so But I don't think that's what they'll do. So, I mean, the safe way of doing this is the 30-minute betting. So you'd be looking at the draw at 30 minutes if you don't think they'll last right the way till half-time. Or if you do think they'll last till half-time, then it's the half-time draw, full-time City is mine. The 30-minute betting, the draw's 5-6. It's too short, really, isn't it, to play that? I'm not keen on that.
You're sorry, Lippert, but you're looking at City now, and people, you know, they were talking on the TV last night about them needing to bring in three or four players to give them any chance. But there's financial fair play business. You wonder, the opposite could happen. You wonder just where the players like Aguero and Silva and Toure might be thinking, it's going nowhere, yes, we'll get off. You know, in my eyes, they're more likely to lose players.
I think it needs freshening up, though, Derek. I mean,
that's an aging team, an aging squad now.
It looks a bit tired, doesn't it? It looks a bit like they're a bit fed up of each other. Do you know what I mean by that?
Do you do? Yeah, I know what you mean. Someone's already offered for Toure 20 million plus a Victoria sponge. So he'll be on his way. I think we could have seen the best of City. You know, I've got a sneaking suspicion they are a team in decline.
I think they've got too much money for that, Derek. I really do. I know what you're saying, but I think they'll.
But if they're not allowed to spend it, Lee. You know what I mean?
It's still ways and means.
Loopholes, isn't there? Yeah.
Still you've got loads of money. You are allowed to spend it, but you don't.
I was just looking at on a slight aside, the market without Chelsea now. Man City are 8-13. Arsenal 15-8, Man United 7-1, Liverpool 12-1. 58 points they're on at the minute. 57 for Arsenal, 56 for Man United, and Liverpool on 54. I mean, I think Liverpool are a huge price in that market. I'm not saying they'll finish second, but they're only 4 points behind Man City. If they beat Man United at the weekend, big if, I know, but they are at home, they could leapfrog. I think that's a great market to be looking at now. City are the only bet I wouldn't have, I think, in it.
Yeah.
8-30, odds on.
Man City 1-3 to win this match. The draw 4-1. West Brom 8-1. The other televised game on Saturday is 5:30 p.m. kickoff. West Ham versus Sunderland. West Ham in the market at 17-20. The draw is 5-2, and Sunderland in the betting at 100-30 here. Dick Advocaat, has been installed as Sunderland boss until the end of the season after Gus Poyet's dismissal. Got a very difficult job to do, Lee, in a limited amount of time. They're only 1 point above the relegation zone, Sunderland. He's managed a heck of a lot of clubs in his time, Advocaat, but without much success, but he keeps getting the jobs.
Yeah, Advocaat for the Black Cats, isn't it? lucky for them, they're going to West Ham, who just seem to have given up, really. I mean, the last home performance against Chelsea wasn't so bad. They lost 1-0, but they lost 3-1 to Palace before that. And their overall form, if you just take the home and away form, is really poor. I'm struggling to know which way around to look at this. In one way, you could argue, well, what an ideal opportunity for West Ham to pick up their first 3 points since the 18th of January at home. Then you could say, oh, what a great opportunity for, you know, for Advocaat and his Sunderland team to go and get a point at least. I think that's what they'll set up for. I think Sunderland will set up to go and get a point because every point counts now. 26 they're on, a point above the relegation zone. But they can creep over the line, I think, Sunderland, if they get a little bit of a honeymoon period. I think I'm just going to side with West Ham, though, to get the job done. 17-20. It's an absolute nightmare, this, from a betting point of view. If I'm talking about it from a footballing point of view, I fancy West Ham, but I can't have them at the price at all. So I'm just going to have to play a goal scorer thing. I'm going to have to row in with Diafra Sakho again. Is the other side of even money at 23-20. And I think even if Sunderland do try and shut up shop, we've seen what they're like defensively. They're not great. You know, if you look at the goals conceded away from home at this season, they had that really good run, didn't they, of clean sheets through November and December. But other than that, you know, they've had some terrible games recently. 3 at City, 2 at Tottenham, conceded at Swansea and Hull, and 2 at Man United. So I think West Ham will score, and I think Diafra Sakho will be the one who gets it. So I'll go for him to score. If you're a weakling any time, I'm going to play him to score first in this one at 4-1.
Okay, 4-1, Diafra Sakho to score first in the West Ham-Sunderland match. It's been a strange season, Derek, for West Ham, because even when things were going remarkably well at the start of the season, the atmosphere seemed sour at Upton Park, and the fans were already beginning to turn on Allardyce, even when they were performing with a great deal of success earlier in the season.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, you were in the top four for a long time, weren't you? Now look where they are. They're below Swansea and Stoke, only on 39 points still. You know, still haven't got to the magic 40-point mark, so things aren't well there, and they're very, very lucky. The way they're playing right now, they're very, very lucky they're playing against Sunderland, who I read an interesting stat this week. They've been on match of the day first only twice this season. Once they got tonked 8-0 and once 4-0 at home. I mean, you know, it'd be a Sunderland fan. Yeah. I mean, in fact, you know, we saw it on match of the day. Most of the 46,000 there was last week for that match against Villa, but most of them left at half time. The only ones who stayed the whole match did so only to beat the traffic.
Yeah.
They were absolutely shocking. And I've said, every time I look at Sunderland, I still can't believe Wes Brown played for England or John O'Shea played for anyone. I just can't. It's an awful central defensive pairing. And every time I look at them, I want to oppose them. But Lee hit the nail on the head. It's West Ham and they're odds on. I can't bring myself to do it. So you think, well, there must be value in opposing them, but there's no value in backing Sunderland, not the way they're playing. It's a mirror image of that game we just talked about, Man City. There's no value in the win for either team. You know what I'm going to go for? I'm going to go for Stuart Downing to get on the score sheet for no reason other than I've got to put up a bet, and that's the only one that makes any semblance of appeal. But he's 15-8 to get on the score sheet, and he seems to be playing with a little bit more confidence than he ever did at Anfield. It's just a shocker of a game, this one. Two televised games on Saturday, I'm giving both of them a wide berth.
Every time I watch Sunderland, I can't help but look at how much John O'Shea looks like Paddy McGuinness.
Yeah, he does.
It's like the greatest lookalike I've ever seen, I think. I think they are the same person. Yeah. No likey. no Stadium of Lighty either, I suppose, isn't it?
The draw 5-2 there. West Ham 17-20. Sunderland in the market at 100-30. Let's get stuck in then to Sunday's live games, and we start off with the match of the weekend, Liverpool versus Manchester United. Liverpool 11-10, the draw 9-4, Manchester United in the market at 5-2. Derek, cast your mind back to mid-December when these two teams played, and there were particularly disparaging comments about both clubs at that time. A lot has changed subsequently, particularly for Liverpool, Derek, who have gone 13 Premier League matches without defeat since that 3-0 loss against Manchester United at Old Trafford.
Well, yeah, I mean, what I remember most about that 3-0 loss is that it could have been 8-3 for Liverpool. I mean, you know, that's what a strange game it was.
You would say that, Derek.
Well, it was. Have you ever looked back in 90 minutes of that game? As I sometimes do, sad old that I am, as I sometimes do, Well, I tell you, two games I often do that. Liverpool against Chelsea in a ghost goal game when there was 6 minutes of injury time for Chelsea when there was only actually 3 minutes it should have been. And that game when England played Greece, and you remember David Beckham scored that goal and he was hailed as the Messiah and so on. I've watched that game several times, and he had a stinker, by the way. He had an absolute stinker. But anyway, that's by the by.
Oh, I'm not. He covered every blade of grass.
You know what? Yeah, and you know what? By doing that,
he was a headless chicken, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, deserting his position. Yeah. The Greeks could have had two late goals because of him. He wasn't where he should have been.
No, what he did run around like a headless chicken. Just to back up, just to back Derek up there, there were 10 shots in that game for Liverpool at Old Trafford, and 7 of them were on target. So he's right. I remember that clearly as well. It was never a 3-0.
Sterling missed about 11 sitters. It was ridiculous.
You're right. It was crazy that game.
Just to pick up on something Arsene Wenger said as well. He said they deserved to win against Monaco. And someone tweeted, there's a handy little matrix for who deserves to win. It's called the scoreline.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a fair point.
It is. I'll tell you one thing. If Louis van Gaal hasn't got any future as a manager, he's definitely got a future as a poet. He was asked to describe the battle for the top four place and called it a rat race. How about that? A little rhyme for the... I can't have Man United in this game. I know that they were great against Tottenham last week, but that's their only decent performance, and Liverpool have been cheering them out left, right and centre. I think Liverpool are good things here. Odds against for Liverpool to beat a side who... I just think they're bang average United. I think it's a real good bet, Liverpool.
11-10 Liverpool. They are, Lee, looking strong in all areas now as well. They've only conceded 3 goals in their last 9 in the Premier League, Liverpool, so looking strong at the back as well. Obviously, this is a huge game in the context of the battle for the Champions League places. And Manchester United did play with a little bit more verve and sparkle against Tottenham at Old Trafford last weekend. Tottenham were abysmal in that match, though. They were really poor, I thought.
Yeah, they were, weren't they? Tottenham are always likely to throw in one of those performances, and that was one of them, wasn't it? And Derek's right, isn't he? You know, they won't get that out of Liverpool. You know, whatever happens here, Liverpool will be right at this. And you know, look at the Premier League home form. The draw against Leicester is the only time they've dropped points in the last 6 at Anfield. That's going back to the 29th of December. They've scored 2 at home to Burnley, at home 2 at home to City, 3 at home to Tottenham, 2 against West Ham, who were at the time were still doing okay. That Leicester draw was a bit of a nightmare, of course. But they had 2 goals in the first half, beat Swansea 4-1. You know, and you know, Man United. You know, people kind of saying, "Oh, I can't believe the fourth." Well, the fourth because of the home form. The home form has been really good. Lot of hard games to come though for Man United. Still, they've had the easy ones so far. They've got Liverpool away, Chelsea away, Everton away. The next 3 away games at home, they've still got City to play and Arsenal. So we're going to see where Man United. I think Man United may be in a slightly false position at the moment, and their away form isn't the same as the home form. You know, all right, they beat Newcastle by a single goal to nil. Came in the 89th minute. Newcastle aren't much to write home about. Lost at Swansea 2-1. Drew at West Ham. Beat QPR, but everyone's doing that. And the second goal there only came in stoppage time from James Wilson. Drew at Stoke, drew at Tottenham, drew at Villa. I mean, it's not clever, you know. Not many wins away from home. I think Liverpool win this game. I really do. I think they're the ones with the confidence, and I think it'll be tight. I'm not saying they're going to win it easy, but the match betting price 11-10. I'd rather throw in. The match result and both teams to score with Liverpool though at 16-5, because United do score goals on the road, not as many as they score at home, but they, you know, very rare that they're kept to nil. I think it's once in the last 9 away games in the Premier League they've had a nil, and that was at 0-0 at White Hart Lane. So I'll go for Liverpool to win and both teams to score. I think it'll be a cracking game actually.
What did you make of that the Rooney video stuff
brilliant.
Last week?
Amazing, wasn't it? Absolutely amazing. Amazing.
Fergie said he could have been killed. Yeah, that's how bad it was.
Did you see when he fell though?
His head's near that
the breakfast bar.
Yeah, the breakfast bar. Yeah. It's just right under it, isn't it?
Yeah, he got up claiming Alpen.
Fair play to him. The reaction. I was more impressed with how he fell. That's a brilliant fall.
Yeah.
Anyone's book. To be able to fall that straight on the pitch was brilliant. But I mean, do it every week. It was he played fantastically well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Last week. It was like a new Rooney all of a sudden. So
he's back in his position that he needs to play in, isn't
True,
he? Really.
It's not rocket science, I suppose, is it? But yeah,
for example.
I think Liverpool win this 2-1, by the way, 15-2. But match result on both teams to score, Liverpool 16-5.
And you're just keen, Derek, on Liverpool on the outright. It's 90.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I can't see. At the moment, Liverpool don't look as though they're going to be beaten.
Yeah.
Look very confident, don't they? Very confident indeed. It's like, you know, going back to that before, I mean, I think if they do win this game, and even if they don't win this game, I still think they'll finish higher than Man United, given Man United's running.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, they've got all those tough games to play against, tough teams to play against. I think they've got a torrid end to the season, which is quite rare for them.
11-10 Liverpool, the draw 9-4, Manchester United 5-2. The other live game on Sunday and televised is Hull versus Chelsea. Hull are 6-1, the draw 3-1, Chelsea in the market at 1-2. Lee, Hull are scrapping at the moment. They've shown improved form recently since the end of December, beginning of January. Home form has been quite strong recently as well, albeit against some of the weaker sides in the league. They've picked up 10 points from a possible 15 in their last five matches at home. And Chelsea, they come into this on the back of draws against PSG, which knocked them out of the Champions League, and a draw against Southampton. They did show a little bit more against Southampton in the second half than they have done recently. My concern for Chelsea, if you are a Chelsea fan, is that three of their most influential players have played a lot of football this season. Nemanja Matic, Cesc Fabregas and Diego Costa have played over 40 matches this season. And particularly Fabregas, he seems to be suffering because of that.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah. I think they've got plenty of strength in depth, though. Good to see the legend that is Diego Costa getting back on the score sheet in the 1-1 draw with Southampton, by the way. Skillful, adept. I think they go to Hull and win. Simple as that. I don't, you know, Hull do score goals at home. You know, look at their results. They've, the wins this season in the Premier League have come against QPR, 2-1, Aston Villa, when they were crap, 2-0. Everton, when they were crap, 2-0. And Crystal Palace, when they were crap, 2-0. So nothing to worry about here for Chelsea, in my opinion. All right, they might make it hard for them, but I think, you know, I think Hull might grab a goal. You know, Chelsea have conceded away from home at Villa, at Southampton, when they drew 1-1, the 5-3 against Tottenham, of course. You know, they've conceded more goals than you would have expected them to. Lost at Newcastle, conceded at Palace, and Burnley at the start of the season as well. So, you know, I wouldn't rule out the Chelsea and both teams to score 11-4. Mm. But I think Mourinho will have his team right at it. I know they drew 1-1 with Southampton, but Southampton have got, you know, the best away defence in the Premier League. So it's, you know, and that's not too bad. You know, it's not a terrible result. And he conceded 11 goals all season, Southampton. So it's very hard to score against them. I think they'll win this one and they'll extend their lead at the or maintain their lead at the top of the table here at Chelsea. Wouldn't be surprised if it's one of those routine 2-0s either. I'll go Chelsea to win and under 2.5 goals. I think they'll be hell bent on keeping Hull out, and I don't think Jelovic and Ndoye are quite the right level to breach the Chelsea defence. Chelsea to win, under 2.5 goals in the match, which is priced up at 2-1.
It is 2-1, and if you do fancy Chelsea to win the game 2-0, that's in the market at 11-2. Derek, it's beginning to look like a very weak Premier League at the moment, isn't it? Because Chelsea don't look convincing. We've talked already about Manchester City. If Liverpool had started the season with a bit more fluency, they'd be banging the title race.
Well, if they had Suarez, they'd have won the title by now. Mm. That's how they would have done.
True. Yeah.
I mean, 10 points, I think they are behind Chelsea after giving them a 30-point lead in about October. I can't have Chelsea here. You know, I visited the Chelsea website the other night just to check their remaining fixtures, and then obviously I tried to clear the history in case anyone found out what I've been doing. And a message popped up telling me there was no history found in that shocker. I can't have them. I cannot have them. Fabregas has disappeared up his own hyperbole. Costa, no. As I said last week, a poor man. James Beattie's not even that good. Take Hazard out the equation, and you're looking at a side that's no better than any of the others in the top four.
Is Hazard not playing then?
Well, yeah, I know, but you stop him. I mean, if I was a man,
who's going to stop him? Jake Livermore.
Whatever happened to man-to-man marking?
yeah.
I mean, we used to
zonal. It's all about zonal now, Derek.
Yeah, I know, but nobody ever does it now.
It's crazy.
You know, in my younger days, I was a good player. I used to get man-to-man marked. and I couldn't do a tap. I couldn't do anything when someone man-to-man marked me.
That proves that you weren't that good a player.
But it's hard, isn't it? Everywhere you go, someone's following you. No one ever does it now. Why not?
I used to be the guy who was doing the man-to-man marking.
You know what? I can just imagine that.
niggling away.
Listen, 1-2 Chelsea is a criminal bet. I can't remember the last decent performance Chelsea gave. It's a long, long time ago. And Hull, I was saying all the way up to Christmas, they're going to come good. And I kept looking a bigger chump every week. But now they are coming good. And they're playing something like the squad they've got deserves to be playing. And I don't think they'll be an easy nut to crack. I'm going to go for Hull with a gold star here, 8-5.
The last good performance was when there was a trophy on the line, wasn't it? In the Capital One Cup final.
Well, yeah, that was it. That was a professional performance, wasn't it? Yeah. And they met it.
That's what I think they'll start doing now, Derek, though. I think you'll get them right on it. Because, like you say, there are some tough games to come, but Hull away, Stoke at home, QPR away, they'll be wanting to have the title wrapped up by that point because they've got Man United at home, Arsenal away. In the next two games, still got Liverpool to play, of course, as well. So I think they'll really target these winnable games now. You know what it's like, Mourinho. They'll just get the job done, won't they?
Lee, I think you're overrating them.
Do you think?
I really do. I don't think they're a great side by any sense.
No, I'm not saying they are. I just think they've got that capability, that ability to be able to shut teams down. Well, you know, I'm not saying, you know, maybe you're right, but I just think I expect to see a kind of a gritty, determined, even boring Chelsea from now on until the end of the season.
Chelsea 2-0, 11-2. Chelsea 1-0 is 5-1, and Derek going with Hull plus a goal there at 8-5. I bet you were sneaky when you were man marked, Derek. I can imagine you being a bit dirty.
Oh, yeah.
Elbows everywhere. Niggly.
I was one of those. I was a skillful player, and yet I had a bit of dirt as well. you don't get that often, do you?
Costa. A lot like Costa. Luckily, you look younger than him still now.
That's true. Let's move on to the non-televised matches this weekend then. Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoffs. Aston Villa versus Swansea is first up. Aston Villa 7-5. The draw is 21-10, and Swansea in the market at 21-10. Is it a case here at Derek of all hail Tim Sherwood? He's done the business, hasn't he? Back-to-back wins against West Brom, which immediately earns him that endearment from the crowd, and then gets them to score four goals in one half of football away at Sunderland.
And they'd only scored four away in the whole of the season up to then. Quite incredible. You would say, don't get too carried away by Villa because they were only playing Sunderland last week, but they did beat West Brom twice, and, you know, I can't explain that. All you can say is that, how bad is Paul Lambert? You had an England centre-forward there in Agbonlahor and a man who carries the Belgian attack, and you couldn't get a goal out of either of them. And then, if I was manager there, you'd see that the Villa's strength was going forward, and yet they never went forward under Lambert. So, you know, I'm not sure Tim Sherwood's a miracle worker. He likes to pretend he is. And all that is leading me up to saying that Swansea over 2-1 are a decent bet here, because I'm always prepared to oppose Villa at home. Their best bet is to attack on the break. It's to strike on the break, and that you don't do that when you're playing against teams like Swansea at Villa Park. And Swansea, I was really impressed with them against Liverpool, especially in the first half. They gave Liverpool a bit of a run around, and nobody, you know, how many teams have done that in the last 3 months? I thought it was a very impressive performance by them, and I'm backing them at over 2-1. I think they're good things, actually.
21-10 for Swansea. Confident selection from Derek. It's going to be a test for Gary Monk and his management team to keep this team, Lee, motivated, because they've not got much to play for with 10 matches left. It's inconceivable that they grab 6th or 7th, really. 10 points off Spurs and Southampton in those two positions.
Yeah, I think there's a few teams like that now, aren't there?
Yeah.
You could have said that against Liverpool, though, and they murdered them in the first half.
Yeah. I think the way they play football, though, is slightly different. You know, they, without wanting to sound too much like a cliche, they always, when I watch Swansea, they're a nice team, and they always seem to play with a bit of a smile on the face, if that's not, that is a massive cliche. But, you know, they seem to just, they're not, I don't know, like Stoke, when you watch Stoke, they look a bit dogged. They look like it's a bit of an effort for them to get going sometimes. But with Swansea, they always just knock the ball about. It looks quite nice. I don't really know about the outrights here, I'll be honest with you. If there was a webcam on, I'm holding my hands up and saying that Tim Sherwood has obviously had a big impact on this team. The impact they needed. They're not out of the woods yet, by the way. They're only 3 points above the relegation zone. But, you know, the way they're going, you'd expect them to creep over. The three successive wins, one in the FA Cup. So I'm going to leave the outrights alone. I'm just going to play a plain old simple both teams to score here. He's got them scoring, of course. You know, the, you know, Benteke's in the goals, like Bon Lahore as well, of course. So, yeah, I think we'll get goals from Villa. And Swansea have only failed to score three times on the road this season. It's even money, both teams to score. So yep. I'll play that.
Newcastle versus Arsenal is next. Newcastle 4-1, the draw 3-1. Arsenal are 13-20. Match result on both teams to score here. Newcastle 7-1 in that market. The draw 18-5 with Arsenal at 23-10. Another Lee Gallant effort from Arsenal midweek, but out of the Champions League again at the last 16 stage for the fifth consecutive season now. I think that's what frustrates Arsenal fans most of all, that they are continually gallant in their struggle to advance in the Champions League, but in previous years they've come up against much better sides than Monaco and gone out. And what frustrates the fans is that Monaco are only fourth in the French top flight, which is regarded as a weak division in the main. It will sting, won't it, that elimination from the Champions League?
Yeah, it's just all down to that third goal, isn't it, at home? It's as simple as that. You know, it doesn't matter what they did in Monaco, in a sense. It's good for them for the rest of the season. It gives them some confidence. But, you know, I don't think... Everyone's kind of talking this week like that performance outweighs how bad they were at home. It doesn't.
No,
it doesn't at all. You know, they were more worse at home than they were better away, if that makes any kind of sense for me. I thought it was a ridiculously naive thing to do, and Wenger's great and all that, but how he lets his teams get away with that season after season. We saw it in the group stages. The reason they didn't finish top of the group was because they were naive, you know, in defending against Dortmund in particular.
Lee, hang on. How does he let his players get away with it? How does he get away with it?
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean, Derek. How does he let his players get away with it? And how does he escape anyone saying, why do your teams, year in, year out, exhibit the same problems? And why haven't you solved them? He doesn't need a fantastic creative midfielder. He needs a dogged, you know, I think Ron would have called them like a dog of war in the midfield, wouldn't he? Someone who's just going to say, right, we're 2-1 down. We aren't winning this game. If we shut up shop now at 2-1 at home, they're not going to come at us. Monaco wouldn't have pushed for a third at the Emirates. They'd have taken 2-1 all day, and they'd probably be through by now. They're a very frustrating side. What you do know about Wenger is that he is consistent. He's consistent in the negative sides of his management, and he's very consistent in the positives. And he knows what to do when they come out of Europe. And you know, you look back over the last few seasons, every time they go out of this stage, they come back and they win, whether they're at home or against a good team, whether they're away against a poor team. And they'll go to Newcastle and they will beat them, in my opinion. The price is obviously very short, and I can't back Arsenal at odds on. But you know, just trying to find a way in here. Our colleague Alex, who did the podcast with me in midweek, he's a big Newcastle fan, and he cannot have Newcastle at all. He thinks they're a very poor team. Of course, they're still missing Cissé for the spit spat ban that he got. I don't think they've got any goal scorers here, and I think Arsenal will start to, you know, really look, like I was saying about Chelsea before, they'll start to look very professional, I think, now, and get some jobs done. I'm just debating whether to go Arsenal under 2.5 goals for a 2-0 or over, and I think I might go over. That way you get a Newcastle goal chucked in there as well. So an Arsenal win, if just in case they do score, an Arsenal win and over 2.5 goals at 5-4 for me. I think I'll go for that. I think they could give them a bit of a hard time here.
Yeah, we've been quite negative, Derek, about Arsenal, but playing devil's advocate here, that their form, barring that loss against Monaco, has been exceptional, really. They've only got one other defeat in their last 15 matches. That came at White Hart Lane. They've won the other 13. So they've been decent in the league.
They have, yeah. But, you know, that's fine. It's the money they've spent, and, you know, they're allowed to be. I mean, they've been knocked out of Europe by a team who had Prince Albert on the subs bench. I mean, it's criminal. And you just know that whoever gets Monaco in the quarter-final draw will be in the semi-final draw, because they're you know, they're a poor side, aren't they? One of the poorest ever to get to the last days of the Champions League. Their average Monaco's average attendance is 8,000, as is Monaco's average tip. That's how much cash they've got over there. I can't have Wenger. I haven't checked. I meant to check this before the podcast started. When Roy Evans was at Liverpool, I'm pretty sure he got Liverpool in the three or four seasons he was there. He got Liverpool into the top four every season. His reward was the sack. Wenger's reward is to praise every single season for going into the top four, winning a place in the Champions League, to go out in the last 16. I mean, you know, and Arsenal fans put up with that, and the press still laud them to the skies. The guy is a dinosaur. I've said it for many, many years now. You've got no business managing Arsenal. But there you go. I see him in a minority. Again, like many things, I'm in a minority of one yet again. Yeah, their form is great. But you look at they're nearly 1-2 to win away at Newcastle. I think that's very sure for Arsenal. I think twice about backing Arsenal at home at 1-2. I can't back him at these odds. I just think something inside me is screaming that Newcastle have got a performance on home soil. I wouldn't be backing them away, but in front of the Geordie crowd, and I think 4-1 is too big.
Okay,
I'm going for that.
I've gone off my bet since I said it. Actually, thinking about that, as Derek's been talking, I totally agree. I'm going to back Olivier Giroud anytime. I still think the same thing will happen. I just don't like the price at 5-4. I don't think it gives me enough value. So I'm going to go back in on Giroud. He's been doing the business, of course. He loves scoring against Newcastle. By the way, scored in each of the last three games against them. He didn't score in the game away at Newcastle in 2013, but got two in the home game when they beat him 7-3. Remember that game. So I'm going to go for him. He's priced up at even money. So
you're his biggest fan, aren't you?
I do like him a lot.
Definitely,
I must admit. He's a bit. He's not as pacey as you'd like him to be, but he's great at that near post, and it looks good as well, doesn't he?
I suppose.
Yeah. I like a good-looking striker, like Diego Costa.
Yeah. Southampton versus Burnley is next. Southampton 4-9. The draw is 3-1. Burnley in the market at 7-1. Derek, 25 points between these two sides in the league. This is a match I'm quite looking forward to this weekend, because you've got a definite difference in style between the two. Burnley more direct, Southampton a little more intricate. But I have got a soft spot for Sean Dyche and Burnley, and it was good as a neutral to see them beating Manchester City last weekend and keeping those survival hopes alive. I'm hoping that Burnley might escape relegation this season.
I think they're a fantastic, but whether they escape relegation, I don't know. But I can't believe it. Why are they? They're the same price to win at Southampton almost as West Brom are to win at Man City. And I always bet I'd rather be on. They've just beaten City, and they're going to a Southampton side who, you know, they're heading the way I've always been saying they're heading downwards. They're overpriced. They are overpriced. My worry is that Dyche might think, yeah, the point we'll do was very nice here at Southampton. That is the worry. And so in which case, you know, you want to be a bit more cautious. They're almost 2-1 to win with a goal start. But you know, when you look at Southampton 4-9, given the way Burnley have been playing recently, that's too short. So the value is opposed in Southampton. Do it whichever way you wish. But I'm going to go. You don't often get 7-1. You don't often get 7-1 winners, do you, really? It's hard to pick a 7-1 winner. And it would be no surprise whatsoever if Burnley was to go to Southampton to win. They'd just beat Man City, for God's sake.
Yeah, Burnley 7-1. Lee, your thoughts?
Yeah, it'd be a big surprise to me if they went to there and won. I just because they don't score enough goals away from home. You know, they've scored 12 all season. Southampton have got the best defensive record at home, barring Chelsea. Only conceded 10. So, you know, a Southampton, the kind of defence that Burnley will go and breach. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I agree with Derek, though, in terms of the price. I think Southampton will win this game, but I can't be having them at the price. You know, they've only won 1-4 at home. Didn't score against Swansea, didn't score against West Ham, didn't score against Liverpool, beat Crystal Palace by a single goal to nil. You know, they've had really good results. And I do sense that they might be just having another little bit of a run, though. That draw at Chelsea is obviously a very good result. I'm just going to play under 2.5 goals here at 10-11. Given what Southampton usually do, and given that I agree with Derek that Burnley will probably go there and look for a point, I don't think we'll see many goals in this one. So I expected the under 2.5 to be a lot shorter than that. So under 2.5 goals at 10-11. If you want to chuck that in with Southampton, then the Southampton win and under 2.5 goals is 21-10. But I'll just go for the goals bet.
Next up, it's Stoke versus Crystal Palace. Stoke 23-20, the draw 11-5. Crystal Palace 5-2. Stoke's home form, Lee, has improved dramatically this year. Only one loss at home so far in 2015, and that came against Manchester City. Even though we've talked about Newcastle and West Ham having little to play for at this time of season, and maybe their intensity drops, I don't see that with Stoke. I think they'll keep playing the way they always play, and they'll play with a desire and hunger in front of their own fans. I don't see them as a West Ham or a Newcastle.
No, I don't either. I mean, they're not... they're a strange team, aren't they? Because I thought... I think I put them up as my kind of handicap bet of the season. And Southampton will no doubt nick that. Although they're only 8 points behind Southampton. So, you know, I don't think it's over that handicap table yet. You know they're going to score goals as well, Stoke. They do create chances the way they play this season. Only failed to score at home 3 times. And 2 of those came in the opening 2 games against Villa and Leicester. Since then, those 2 matches, only 1... time have they failed to score, and that was at home to Chelsea. So, you know, they've scored a few, you know, 2 against Swansea, 2 against West Ham, 3 against Arsenal, 2 against the Baggies, 3 against QPR, beat Everton 2-0 last time at home. So I think we'll see goals in this game, because we know that Crystal Palace, until they went to Southampton, who of course are a very good defensive team, they've been scoring goals for fun under the new manager. They scored 7 in those 3 Premier League games preceding that away trip to Southampton. So I like the goals in this one, and I'm going to push it a little bit to over 3.5. I think we could see quite an entertaining match here. That's 17-5. The over 2.5 is 13-10, which is pretty big for a game where there's not an awful lot on it. You know, Palace are virtually safe now, I think. I think it'll be open. I think it'll be entertaining. So by all means, take the over 2.5, but I'll just push it to 4 or more goals in the match.
Okay. 17-5, 4 or more goals in the match for Lee. Alan Pardew, Derek, has pulled Crystal Palace out of the mire since taking over. A lot of that good work has been done away from Selhurst Park as well. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, you're right. Away from home, Palace, you know, they're always someone you've got to look seriously at. But 5-2, I think it's criminally short.
I do
couldn't
as well.
Believe out those odds. I mean, traditionally, you've got to be thinking it's 7-2 minimum for Palace here. That's way too short, and it makes me think that Stoke are the bet here. I was a bit unkind to Stoke. It troubled me, you know, last week after the podcast. I thought, they've just won 3 games on the spin, and I'm saying they're going off the boil here. As it turned out, I got it right. But, no, I fancy Stoke here.
You're even right when you're wrong, Derek.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your phrase, DK? DK's got a great phrase which describes him to a T. You've forgotten, haven't you?
Sometimes wrong, sometimes right, but always certain. That's the one.
Quite right, too. I'm going to go for Stoke here. Overpriced to beat a Palace side who, yeah, possibly could be, you know, could possibly be excused for taking the foot off the gas. Nice win under the belt last week. I'm going to go for Stoke here. I think that's a big price.
Yeah, I do as well. 23-20 for Stoke to beat Crystal Palace, who are 5-2. The draw, 11-5. We'll move on to Tottenham versus Leicester.
Yeah, let me get on to this first, because there's something...
Straight in.
Well, I mean, Tottenham were crap last week at United. I went for them to win. You know, they won their two seasons running. I just can't explain how bad they were. I'm sure the manager can't either. But look at this game here. You've got Tottenham-Leicester, and then the game we've talked about a few moments earlier, Southampton-Burnley. Right, so Leicester are way below Burnley in the table. Well, not way below, but 3 or 4 points below. So they're probably a worse side than Burnley, and Southampton and Tottenham are locked, you know, on 50 points. Southampton are 4-9, Tottenham are 6-10. You know, why is that? Why are Southampton rated more sure to beat Burnley than Tottenham are to beat Leicester?
A lot of reaction to that loss at Old Trafford, perhaps.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, you don't any punter worth his salt knows you don't just go on one result. You know, you go on 5 or 6, unless it doesn't suit your case.
Love it.
I'm going to go for that. I mean, Tottenham are odds on not far off 1-2 territory, 6-10, but I can't make a case. But 9-2 Leicester. Oh, come on, they've won 4 games all season out of 28, and they're only 9-2 to win at Tottenham. I think that's a criminal price.
Just to go back to something you just mentioned as well, when you're comparing it to Southampton versus Burnley, you'd swap Sean Dyche for Nigel Pearson in a heartbeat, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, one of them seems positive in post-match press conferences, and the other one just seems confrontationally. I just think Pearson's lost it.
I like him though.
Yeah, he might like the fire and desire he shows, but he's not a manager not a Premier League manager in my opinion.
No, and they've there's only so. I mean, I think he knows as well. There's only so long you can just keep saying, "Oh, we're unlucky again."
Yeah,
because time's running out, isn't it? You know, they're down for me. You know, there's no way they escape. Famous last words, of course. I can't really add anything to what Derek's saying. I don't get it. Tottenham should be 1-3. Here, yeah, in my book. I mean, what have they done wrong at home? All right, they drew with West Ham. But, you know, they were 2 down. in that game and came back and rescued a point out of it. I understand maybe we should have, maybe they should be doing better than that. But, they had just been in that game with Fiorentina and they had Europa League football on the Thursday. They haven't got that now. And they were bad. But we know Tottenham will throw in a bad performance now and again. But they tend to bounce back as well. I think 6-10 is not my kind of price necessarily, but I think of all the short prices in the Premier League this weekend, that's got to be the one, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want to be back in Harry Kane at 4-5. But anytime, despite the fact that I think he's a cracking player.
That's not bad though, I don't think.
No, but Harry Kane to score first, maybe at 9-2, might be a nice way in. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win, 6-5. I think Tottenham win, it's just finding a way of backing them with a better value, I think. I mean, Leicester do score. The 2-0 defeat at Man City was the first time they hadn't scored in the Premier League at home in six matches. The last time they failed to score away from home was at West Ham on the 20th of December. So, they can get a goal. Now, if you think Tottenham are just on the way in a little bit, or they're not quite at it, then Tottenham to win and both teams to score might be another way in. 11-5, and there's a big difference there between the 11-5 and the 6-10. I'll take the Harry Kane just to score and Tottenham to win at 6-5.
Harry Kane's annoying me because he is plainly a very, very good player. Now, that means I was wrong. I wrote the math there, and I hate being wrong about players.
What?
So every time he scores or does something great, I'm cursing him.
You should have backed him to win the Player of the Year, and then if he'd have won that, everything would have been forgiven, wouldn't
you're
it?
You're right. Yeah.
We haven't got prices on that yet still, but I think he's got a great chance of that.
Yes. I think Hazard will win it, but he's got a very good chance.
Yeah, Chelsea players very rarely win it, Derek. Once, I think they've won it. In the history of the competition. And that's through all that great, under the Mourinho. I think Terry won it in the first Premier League.
Lampard's won it, hasn't he?
No, I honestly don't think. Check back. I'm sure there's a general feeling that people don't like Chelsea. Players, I'll double check it, but I'm sure I'm right in saying that Chelsea very rarely win it, especially in the modern era. And same goes this year, doesn't it? People just don't like Chelsea.
Yeah.
I just think, Kane's probably got a bit about him where people quite like him as well.
And because we're recording this on Thursday as opposed to Friday morning, we haven't got those headline offers for the majority of the matches yet. And that Harry Kane, in all likelihood, he'll be part of the headline offer.
Yeah, you wonder. I mean, if it's only 6-5 as it is now, you wonder how much bigger they can make that.
Get a bit of a boost, though.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll probably put someone else in there just to bump it up to maybe 2-1 or something. Mm. But if he's in the headline offer and you're getting any much bigger than 6-5, then I'd take that definitely.
Last game this weekend is QPR versus Everton, 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. QPR 23-10, the draw 23-10, and Everton in the market at 6-5. We're recording this, as mentioned, on Thursday, so before Everton's second leg match with Dynamo Kiev, Lee, and they've not been terrible after an away day in Europe this season, but that's a big match in the Ukraine, and they're in London just 3 days later. It could take its toll.
Yeah, it could, couldn't it? It's a shame as well.
It's quite a long trip, isn't it?
Yeah. And they play a little bit early. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff on the Thursday night, so they've got time. But realistically, you think they're not going to get back home from Ukraine till the early hours of Friday morning. I guess no training on the Friday. They'll probably go in for a bit on the Saturday morning. Then you're straight up to London for the 4 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. It's a real shame as well because I thought Everton were a good bet to win this and maybe score a couple of goals in the bargain as well. Watching QPR last week, and I know Derek's right about the Tottenham thing where you shouldn't take one result and watching one team as your basis for a bet. But looking at QPR's body language against Crystal Palace on TV, they gave up. I know they came out in the second half and won the second half, and I'm sure the manager gave them a bit of an earful, but they were already 3-0 down. They looked terrible in that first half for a team who was supposed to be fighting. You go a goal down in 21 minutes, you want to see a bit more from them. You shouldn't be 3-0 down to any team in the Premier League when you're fighting for your life, in my opinion. I just wonder if that'll level it out a little bit, if the draw's the play here. I think I'll go for the draw. I just worry about that trip. 23-10 is the biggest price with QPR, and I think it's more likely the draw than QPR winning. So I'll go for that. But I'm worried about Everton, you know, just like that trip might just take a bit too much out of them.
The draw is 23-10. That's Lee's bet here. QPR, Derek, lost four straight and lost their last five at home in all competitions as well.
Yeah.
As Lee made mention of earlier on in the season, it was always going to be difficult with QPR's running, and they've suffered.
Yeah, well, but they'll look at this fixture. Yeah. You know, Everton side, they're not far off the relegation scrap themselves, and just coming back from Kiev, they'll look at this as a winnable fixture. In fact, they've got to be winning this. There's no fanning around with a draw for QPR here. They've got to go for it. They were shocking last week, absolutely shocking. But they're a Premier League side, and Premier League sides at the top level, and that's what the Premier League is, despite what's happened in Europe. They are capable of bouncing back. And, OK, I'm not saying they're going to hit the heights, because they haven't hit any heights at all this season. But they're a better side than what we saw from them last week. Everton have turned the corner, definitely. Some great results, the one against Kiev last week and then in the league a few days later on the Sunday. But this is a tough ask for them. They played on Sunday, played again on the Thursday. In fact, this will be their fourth game in, 11 days, something like that, I think it is. I'm going to go for QPR. I just think it's too much to ask of Everton this. It's a long try, and QPR are a better side than we've seen. Let's not forget they've won a few games at home earlier this season, QPR. And the reason their home form recently has dipped is that they've been playing much better calibre opposition. I'm not sure Everton fall into that category, so I'm going to go for Rangers here.
QPR in the market at 23-10 for Derek. Let's finish off with the Naps then. Mr. Phelps, you can kick us off, seeing as you're in such good form at the moment.
Ha! Yes, I'm going to go for over 2.5 goals in that Stoke-Crystal Palace game. I think, like I say, I think it'll be open. Crystal Palace in two of their last four away games have scored three away from home. I think, Stoke, they don't keep, clean sheets every single week. So I think Stoke could maybe win it 2 or 3-1, but I'm going to go for over 2.5 goals at 13-10. Both of them average over 50% for the home and away games in terms of over 2.5. So over 2.5 at 13-10 for me.
Mr. McGovern?
I'm going to go for Burnley at 7-1 to win
at
Southampton.
Wow. You can just do this now, though. You can just throw these out there, can't you?
It's like when you're playing poker and you're the chip lead and you got masses. You can just bully the others out.
I'm going to have a goals bet as well this week, Mr. Phelps. I'm going under 2.5 goals in the Man City-West Brom game at 11-8. Don't understand the discrepancy in the prices there. You've mentioned how Tony Pulis is likely to set his team up. He'll be more than happy with a point. Manchester City don't look like cutting anyone to ribbons at the moment. I think that's going to be low scoring. I don't understand why under 2.5 is 11-8 there. So I'll play under 2.5 in the Man City West Brom game.
I'm going to write the tweet now, DK, that after about 20 minutes there'll be two up.
Yeah, no doubt. Stoke Crystal Palace over 2.5 for Lee at 13-10, and Derek going with Burnley at 7-1. 42.7-1. The treble. We're running out of time, chaps, as well. 10 weeks to go. To get one of these in.
We had a bit of a negative comment this week about the Naps. We do need one to land, don't we, just to rescue us?
We'll have a flurry, I think. What's going to happen.
All the other good bets that you put up,
all forgotten.
All of them.
Thank you, chaps.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks to everyone for listening to the Pump Podcast as well. Remember, you can download this via iTunes and check us out on audioboom.com by typing in William Hill, and myself, Lee and Derek will be back for more action next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.